Welcome to another edition of ASISU Speaks. This is Christophe Kisoon. I'm here today in the studio with Senator Kinzel, representing the College of Nursing. So Ashley, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Ashley Kinzel. Like he said, I am a senator for the College of Nursing for ASISU. I'm also class president for the nursing class of 2019, and I am involved in a sorority here on campus, and it's Alpha Z Delta. So that's a little bit of what I do on campus.
You already answered like five of my questions. I'm really excited to have you today because you are very involved on campus and you've been involved for years.
Yes.
So when did you first come to ISU?
I came in 2015. In the fall, yes.
I remember the first time I met you, it was at an interview for housing. Do you remember that? Some years ago, we both applied for positions and they had the group interviews.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot you were there.
Yeah, you were blonde then, yeah.
Yes, so, I was debating if I wanted to do it or not.
Right? So I know you've been involved from ever since.
Yes.
And why did you choose to come to ISU? How did you end up here?
So I came for a campus tour and I just fell in love with the campus and the small-knit community feeling that's here at ISU. And I told my dad that when we got here, I was like, I just really like this town. Like, it's a good feeling. Everyone's nice and friendly and talks to you. And then I ended up getting a scholarship to be an ambassador. And so that kind of sold my decision on top of the awesome nursing program they have here because I want to get money to go to school, you know, just
exactly.
Like any other college student, try and do it the cheapest route and still get one of the best educations I could. So
that's so cool. So you came here on a tour and fell in love with the school and then you became
an ambassador.
Yeah, an ambassador. They
gave me a packet at my campus tour.
Wow.
They said, we think you'd be really good, we want you to fill this out, and I filled it out and got the position.
That's so great. Yeah. That's so cool. So tell us a little bit about the ambassador program, you know, for the community who doesn't quite know how important they are.
So the ambassadors essentially provide prospective students tours on campus and kind of give them the experience of ISU in as short of a time as they can. So the tours are usually 1 hour. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, you're just kind of showing high school students like the life of a college student at ISU. They usually get to meet with programs they're interested in. So when I came, I met with the nursing program after my tour. And then I also got a tour of campus housing. So for people that are interested in living on campus, we coordinate tours with them so that they can go see what kind of availability there is and what their options are. So
nice.
I love the ambassador program. I love Craig and Nicole. They do a great job with it.
Great job. Very fulfilling.
Yes.
Responsibility.
I loved it. I love getting to meet new students. And I loved it when I saw them in the future and they're like, you're the reason I came to ISU.
Oh my God.
That was one of my favorites.
That was extremely rewarding.
Yes.
Wow. And it's, even if you just like walk around on campus and then you see kids who you've given to all students and you're like, oh my God, you actually came.
Uh-huh. One of them actually ended up being in my sorority. So
Whoa.
She always says that when people are like, oh, why'd you pick ISU? She points at me and she's I picked it because of Ashley.
That's amazing. They're lucky to have you over there.
Thank you.
You know? And I think one of my favorite things about the ambassador program is just how well-trained you guys are. The training is so beautiful and you guys have so much like institutional knowledge, like the history
it's
of
rigorous.
ISU. It's rigorous. And that's really cool because students should know and should care about, you know, how this place even came into existence.
I feel like I really benefit. Well, they don't take freshmen, as far as I know, anymore.
Uh-huh.
I think
so
I was the last year that they took a freshman.
I see.
And that's hard because you're coming into a campus where you already don't know anything and you're trying to give tours to other kids who don't know anything,
right,
you know?
Right.
But I felt like I really benefited from it because I really got to know so many ins and outs about the university that I wouldn't have known otherwise that really enhanced my college experience.
Right.
Especially as a freshman.
That makes sense. You were like your own mentor.
Yes. Yeah. I knew where all the buildings were. I knew what was in there. I knew all the opportunities and resources ISU provided right away. Like the tutoring center, the writing center. So I just was really thankful for that opportunity.
That's so cool. Yeah. I wish that was where we can make that kind of more accessible to everybody, you know, like all these students, like create a little course or something. Hey,
yes.
101 on ISU stuff. That'd be pretty nice. So where are you from?
I am from Boise, and then I grew up in Meridian.
Okay. And did you always know ISU? Well, you said the tour. Did you think about any other schools before?
Or? I was looking at going to Washington, Utah.
Okay.
Everyone in my high school is going to University of Idaho, so
right.
I was like, maybe I'll go there. But I kind of got some crap from my friends for going to ISU because they all went to U of I, and I was like, you guys don't even know. Like, we're so much better, and I love ISU.
I love ISU,
but,
too.
Yeah,
what are some of your favorite things about ISU?
I love all the opportunities they have on campus. I love my freshman year, I got a CPI, and I thought that was really cool in the College of Nursing, and that really solidified my decision, like, I want to be a nurse. And then, like I said, I like the community feeling, the small town that accompanies ISU and the school spirit. I know a lot of people say we don't have that much school spirit, but I do feel like there's a lot of school spirit.
I agree.
While we could definitely improve, there is something to celebrate with that. So.
I agree. I think schools just kind of get it in their heads all the time that school spirit has to mean, you know, we have the biggest football games,
yes,
or we have the most.
And that's not at all.
That's not what it is. I think being a good Bengal to me is my research, you know?
Yes.
Like producing good ISU research. That's my Bengal pride. That's how,
yes,
I show it. And the cool thing about ISU is every student who comes here can kind of express their Bengal pride however they want to.
Yes.
Right?
I think it's being proud of everything you've gained at ISU and,
yeah,
wearing that. You know, you wear your Bengal pride whenever you walk on campus.
Exactly. Just being here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's awesome. So were you always interested in the health sciences just ever since from high school?
Yeah. So this is a silly story, but I always tell it. I was 5 years old and my best friend Ashley Adams, I only vividly remember it, but I remember she fell off our treehouse and she was bleeding everywhere, got a concussion, you know, when I was five. And instead of like running to get an adult, like I tried to play mom and do it all myself. I got her a pillow. I tried to clean up the bleeding, you know. And ever since then, I just was like, that is such a feeling of fulfillment. And even though it was at the age of five, like that is something that carried on throughout my life, and I always was like, I want to be a nurse. So everything,
wow,
I did was kind of geared towards that, and then I got accepted into the program first try, and we're almost done graduating in May.
That's so lovely, having your first Florence Nightingale moment at,
yes,
five.
Yes.
And for those of you who don't know who Florence Nightingale is, I did not know who she was until very recently, but she's basically the founder of nursing.
Yes.
Right? She made the profession what it is.
Yes.
Look her up. She's a total...
famous.
Bad ass. I don't know if I can say that on the air, but it's warranted.
Oops.
For Florence. So, and nursing. So you always knew you wanted to take care of people and,
yes,
be more on that human side.
Yes.
As opposed to the super technical doctor-y.
Yes, I think it's very rewarding being able to be someone's advocate when they can't do it for themselves all the time. You know,
right,
when they're down in the dumps and, you know, they're not usually in the hospital for a good reason. And so I think it's really important to just be that advocator and pick up their spirits when they need that extra help.
Definitely, because that's so important too. It's not,
yes,
just the medication or the treatment.
Yes.
It's the love.
And the well-being,
you know,
of the patient.
People being, their mental well-being, their spiritual well-being.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's great that nurses kind of create this bridge, right, between patient and doctor.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, very, very important cog in the machine.
Yes, it makes me scared but excited.
Very exciting, and you're graduating in May.
Yes.
So how do you feel about that?
I'm scared.
Yeah?
I feel like I'm smart enough sometimes, and other days I'm just worried that I'm going to slip up and make a mistake,
right,
and, you know, someone's life is going to depend on it, and so I'm scared.
That's,
I know,
wild.
I'll learn a lot in the field. And I know I have the knowledge I need, so I just need to simmer down and,
yes,
not freak out.
And get in there.
Yes.
I think, you know, as much as we want to be prepared for every outcome, life just kind of,
yep,
has its own plan, right? So
it's crazy.
It's got to get in there and do the
best you can.
Lots of
stuff you don't see in the books.
Right? Definitely. And do you have an idea of maybe where you want to work? Do you want to stay in this region?
I already work on the medical surgical floor over at Portneuf right now.
Ooh.
And so I am planning either to stay here or go to Boise just to get some experience on the med surg floor, just because I know that makes you a more valuable candidate to transfer to other departments.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, I want to end up in the pediatric department.
Oh, okay.
I've wanted to do that ever since.
Very,
I was
nice. You want to be more like a pediatric,
yes,
nurse. And do you need like any other specializations or anything to do?
No,
that,
I eventually think I want to go on and get my NP in,
okay,
family or pediatrics, so we'll see what,
ooh,
happens.
Very cool, exciting.
Yeah.
So you could be a doctor in the future.
Yes.
Ah, I love it, I love it. I'm going to hear such good things about you.
Hope so.
Definitely. So let's branch out a little bit from ISU.
Okay.
And I like to throw this in and kind of talk more about generally what's going on in the world. So,
okay,
do you pay attention to like news and to politics? Or
I try my best.
Yeah?
I, yes,
mean, trying is better than not trying.
Yes.
So is anything going on right now that kind of, I don't know, maybe either triggers you or makes you feel like there's something you want to say about it? It could even be something
question.
In like the health sciences field.
It's not necessarily to do with politics or any,
uh-huh,
world,
uh-huh,
issues per se, and I don't want to bring that up because of the tough negotiation that accompanies a lot of those topics, you know, like,
yes,
guns and abortion and all that, because,
oh, yeah,
I definitely get triggered by some of those,
yeah,
but,
yeah,
I'm not going to broadcast that on the air. So something that has recently kind of shed light, and,
uh-huh,
I've kind of seen it throughout my life, but especially in college, is how deaf people are treated in the Pocatello community and also in the world as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm minoring in American Sign Language, and my mom is deaf. And so I have that firsthand experience of kind of seeing her get left out of, like, community settings or, you know, any basic interaction because she's deaf and, you know, you assume they're stupid or they don't know anything.
Right.
And
just a lack of awareness.
Yes,
mm-hmm,
and that is just something that irritates me.
Me too.
It really irritates me. And any snide comments that people make about them not being as intelligent, you know, they can be just as they are more intelligent oftentimes.
Agreed.
Than,
mm-hmm,
hearing people. And so that's something I feel really strongly about. And this is like really random, but I saw this, and this is why I thought of it recently, as I was watching America's Next Top Model.
Uh-huh.
And they had a deaf candidate on there for the first time. And he talked about how he really struggled because it's hard in an industry of all hearing people catching those side conversations, those comments, and no one feels the need to include you.
Right.
And they look at it as a disability.
Right. Which it really isn't. If anything, it's just a different kind of ability.
It is.
Right? I love that. Yes. So, you know, tomorrow is Senator Marshall, who represents the graduate school. She's in the audiology program, and she's a huge advocate.
Yes.
Right? For people who are hard of hearing and that kind of thing. Yeah. So was your mom, was she always deaf when you were born?
Yes, she was born deaf. And she is actually the only person in our entire line of family that's deaf.
Wow.
Which sometimes, I think that's a little odd. Usually there's another, but she's the only one. And so I know she has a really hard time because she's surrounded by all hearing people, and even big family dinners, you miss someone that made a side comment across the table and everyone's laughing and you're like, oh, what'd they just say?
Right.
Because no one takes the time to make sure she's included.
Uh-huh.
And that's a slippery slope because sometimes you feel like it's not necessarily your job, but it's just like a courteous thing to do.
Agreed, definitely. And it's just something we should be more conscious of,
yes.
You know, especially in today's world where we have so much information out there and there's so many deaf people now, you know, like in the public space. So it's important we kind of pay attention to them and give them a chance to express their views.
Yes, for sure. I just don't like the snide remarks. Ugh. That is something I wish more people were educated about, especially with how deaf people talk, because a lot of times they don't talk, or if they do, you know, they have that more monotone sound. To me, that is really amazing to be able to teach yourself to talk without hearing what it sounds
like.
That's
amazing.
And learning how to articulate your words and your lips to be able to make sounds that sound like a hearing person would. So I just give a round of applause to people who are able to do that, because a lot can't.
Right.
And then people that do get made fun of, and it's like, well, you know,
right,
you're not a very nice person.
No, you're not. You're not even trying to understand it.
Yes.
So was it difficult communicating with your mom growing up?
It never was difficult. Between me and my mother, there was a lot of conflict because I was that person who wasn't very courteous to include my mom when I would talk to my dad, because my dad is not deaf. And so I would just converse with my dad, and then from across the room, or if my dad was in the kitchen and I'm like, hey, dad, can you bring me a drink of water? And my mom's in the same room as me. She's like, oh, what did you just say to your dad?
Oh, I see.
And that's hard because it's like, well, I wasn't talking to you in the first place, but if you were hearing, you would have been able to hear what I have said.
Kind of creates this dilemma.
Yes.
Yeah, and from a young age, you kind of have to become more conscious and take that initiative to learn more and understand more and kind of adjust your behavior.
For sure.
Right.
And I had a hard time with some of my friends, too. I got made fun of a lot for it.
For having a deaf
and
mom?
Yeah, just like how she sounded. And it just really grinded my gears. There was this guy that I thought was cute, and I brought him home. And I was really hesitant to bring people home because I knew people were judgmental about it. And my mom is sweet and I love her, but that was just the high schooler in me that was like, oh my God, what are they going to think, you know? And then the next day I went to school and him and all of his friends were mocking my mom and like kind of what they thought her voice sounded like, making fun of me. And I almost threw some hands. I was mad. And
I
never talked to him again. I was like, screw you.
Wow.
You're rude.
That's just disrespectful. That's just mean.
Yep.
Wow.
There was a lot in elementary school, but I just was like, why is this still happening in high school?
Right.
You know?
Do you think as a society we're maybe getting a little bit better at kind of handling issues of deafness?
I think there's definitely some accommodations that have been made in regards to like advanced technology, you know, with like doorbells that flash and like video phones and iPhone apps that are able to accommodate that. So I do think in that aspect, yes. I don't know how much we're necessarily progressing in the acceptance and involvement of the deaf community.
Part.
Yes, and being an advocate for them, you know, instead of making fun of them or staring at them when they're signing or trying to at least communicate with them if you're aware they're deaf instead of ignoring them. You know what I mean?
Right, definitely. And I know this kind of conflict even within the deaf community of people who see the deafness as a disability, right?
Yes.
So there's that section, that group, that subgroup that's pushing for more cochlear implants, trying to not maybe use sign language as much.
Yes.
And then there's another subgroup that loves deaf culture and they see sign language as a huge part of their identity. So how do you kind of reconcile those two things from your experience?
What do you mean? So further that for me.
Oh, no worries. So there's these two different camps, right?
Yes.
Kind of competing about what the future of the deaf community.
Yes. Are you asking my thoughts on which way it should go?
Do you feel in either one? Is there another camp that you identify with?
I think, I mean, I'm not deaf, so I
It's difficult to say.
In my experience, from what I've seen with the deaf community and being involved in it with my mom, I advocate for being able to use that as part of your identity and knowing sign language. I think that's a very big part of who you are, and taking away ears for someone who loves music, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I just think language is such a big part of somebody, as music may be to somebody else. And so that's very essential for how they communicate. It's very dependent on facial expressions and things that aren't portrayed necessarily in words. So I am a strong advocate for being able to use language. My mom is actually a deaf preschool teacher, and there's a lot of parents that ask them not to use sign language because they want to conform them more to the hearing world so they grow up more normal, you know, but that's part of their identity.
So are her students also deaf?
Yes, they're preschoolers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But that's so cool. Yeah. Wow.
Your mom has a hard time with it because she's very pro sign language. And then she has parents who say that. And she's like, why? Why don't you want them to identify with a community that they're part of? You know, why are you taking that away from them?
Right. A community that loves and supports them, right?
Yes.
And then the difficult thing is that these are children, right? And so pretty much as a deaf kid, whatever your parents tell you to do is what you're going to do, right?
Yes.
And that's kind of the sad part. They don't really have this choice or...
I think a lot of parents don't want to make the adaption,
right,
which is hard, because there are some parents that are willing to learn sign language and make that work, and then there's others who aren't, and they don't want to, because to them, they view it as a disability, like something is wrong with their child, and they're trying to normalize them to what they know as normal.
Right, and then they want their children to succeed in a world that isn't super caring about deaf issues, and I see, it's a dilemma.
But you can still succeed,
even
as a deaf person.
Absolutely.
You still have all the same opportunities.
You can. The same model you were talking about on America's Next Top Model, he is...
Niall,
he is a huge advocate.
He is.
And so successful as a deaf person in the industry, you know. So that just goes to show, man, that with the right education, the right awareness, the encouragement by society, they can accomplish some amazing things.
For sure.
Yeah. And I think something should be said about how we define success, you know.
Like absolutely.
The way we define intelligence, the way we define competence, it's so... I don't know what the word of heteronormative is in this situation. There must be some kind of word. But whatever the norm is then right now, it just isn't very inclusive and caring about people who aren't like that.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Absolutely not.
So hopefully, like, as a school, right, we can begin to come together and create a discussion, create some more community awareness. And
yes, and we do have a strong deaf community here in Pocatello and lots of clubs. So it's very cool. They're nice people. I love to go and hang out with them and sign. And even if you don't know sign language, you're always more than welcome to come and try and piece some things together. But
Definitely. So where would you recommend somebody if they wanted to start learning sign language? What was like a good, easy way to start?
I would start taking sign language classes.
Okay.
So like I said, my mom's deaf and I dated Logan Schmidt.
Right.
And he started taking some sign language classes to be able to talk to my mom. Although she reads lips really well, it was more of a form of respect. Like, I want to be able to communicate with you in a way that
it's
satisfies you, that is understandable. Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he picked up on it really fast.
Wow.
And so I would say just taking classes. I mean, it's not very difficult to pick up if you're
going
to classes and learning and practicing. We would practice at home and I would teach him. And so,
that's
cool. That's what I would recommend.
And it's so beautiful watching people sign. I just love how it looks.
Yes.
So if I can
it's
even understand
language.
The meaning. It is. It's pretty. And it's unlike any other language out there. It's fully based on body. It's so unique.
Facial expressions.
Yeah.
That's hard. My mom always thinks I'm angry because I have a resting, or I'll just say RBF. I have RBF really bad. And so she always thinks I'm grouchy because it's so dependent on facial expressions and I'm not smiling 24/7.
Wow.
So.
See, that in itself is so interesting because the majority of people, when they hear sign language, all they think about is the hand motions, right?
Yes, but
they don't
it's
even
so
think
much
about
face.
So much face.
It is.
Just even your body posture.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things have meaning, right?
Yes.
So it's probably crazy, like, for a deaf person when they look at a normal person and they're doing all these crazy things. And then
they're
head,
like,
I'm
what
like,
the heck?
Are you cursing at me? What are you saying?
Yep.
All right.
My mom sometimes would think I was mad, even though I'm not yelling, just conversing how I'm conversing with you, but because I'm not expressing it on my face, she's like, are you mad?
Right.
I'm like, no, I'm not mad.
Wow. And it's beautiful that humans can communicate in these complex ways.
It is.
That's amazing. Yeah. Awesome. Nice. I like it. So before we close off, because I think this has been so, so great.
Thank you.
Right. I'd love for you to give me a little piece of advice for maybe somebody out there who is struggling right now, maybe a younger Ashley Kinzel, who have kind of been through some of the things you've been through. What would you tell them?
Oh, that's hard.
Hmm.
That's an on-the-spot question.
I know. I should have prepped you on that one.
I would just say it gets better. It gets easier. You just keep pushing through, and sometimes it seems like it's the end of the world or the whole world's against you, and that is not the case. You just got to keep pushing through, and there's better days to come, and you become a stronger person because of your experiences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I would have had something better to say if I planned this.
Honestly, that sounds fantastic to me, and I completely agree. Society it's hard right now.
It is.
It's hard, especially for young people, to wake up and get out of bed, you know? Like, we have so many people in this region dealing with depression and mental issues, and just looking at the news is so sad.
It is.
You know, and society seems to be getting better, but not as quickly as we might want it to.
Say, remember who you are and that you are a beautiful person, and just to work hard because it will pay off at the end, even though there's a lot of things you're sacrificing now. Eventually, it will all pay off.
It will. Well, that's the point of sacrifice, right?
Yes.
For something up now, for something better later, for a better world tomorrow.
Absolutely.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much, Ashley.
Thank you for having me.
On. I would love to have you again next semester.
Okay.
We can talk more about cool things.
Alrighty. Thank you.
Thank you.
Programming support for ASISU Speaks on KISU is made possible through funding from ISU Credit Union. ISU Credit Union is providing financial solutions to members from their offices in Pocatello, Idaho Falls, Blackfoot, and Burley. Services include mobile and online banking, mortgage loans, auto loans, and more. Modern financial support provided for you in a caring, member-friendly environment. ISU Credit Union. You've never seen banking like this.